Welcome to the Creative Medicine Podcast. My name is Amol Ladd. I'm a doctor and a musician from the UK, and I'm on a mission to find out how we can use creativity to improve health and well-being. So if you're interested in joining me on this journey, make sure you subscribe, like, comment, and download the podcast so you can make sure you're up to date with every episode. Wow, today you really are in for a treat. I'll be speaking to Laura Conway, who's the founder of Creative Blood Agency. So Laura used to be a rock and roll drummer, and she's worked with huge A-list celebrities. And in this episode, we talk about creativity, the power of community, and following your intuition. Laura talks about the power of community in business and how creativity really thrives when you've got the right people around you. I'm really excited to share this episode with you, so let me know what you think and make sure you connect with Laura on the links provided in the show notes. Welcome back to another episode of the Creative Medicine Podcast. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Laura Conway, who is the founder and director of the Creative Blood Agency, and also a rock and roll drummer. And we've been speaking over the last few months, and Laura's been integral in the thought process behind this podcast itself as well, and kind of mentoring me to some extent of, you know, getting the right message behind this podcast. So welcome, Laura. It's a pleasure to have you on this episode today.
Thank you. Not sure what to do with that introduction. I'm going with it. I'm just going with it. That's cool. Let's keep going.
Just to start off, so tell us about you, Laura. I'm very intrigued to find out about this very diverse journey that you've taken. So tell us, where did it all begin?
I think I just need to say I'm terrible at telling this story, and I'm especially terrible at telling short stories. So I will do my absolute best. I think the thing I'd love to start with is really to say that, you know, my journey has been eclectic, but then when you piece it all together, it actually makes perfect sense. And the more I go down the road of, you know, doing what I do for work and sort of what lights my fire personally in and around creativity and just my curiosity in general, all the pieces, they're not only they make perfect sense, but they also really complement each other. So I started as a session musician, and I did that for 15 years. I was a drummer. I played in multiple bands, had record deals, publishing deals, toured, you know, played studios, played big arenas, done TV stuff. I can see you smiling, which makes me smile. But
living the dream.
Well, I don't know. You see, this is the misconception. I love to talk about this. But, you know, that's one chapter of my life. And then somebody changed the course of my life. And really, because I lived in Los Angeles for 5 years. I was, again, a long story, but I went to LA to play drums for an artist. And I ended up falling into my next chapter of life whilst I was there. Which was an incredible opportunity that I could have never seen coming. But again, my curiosity and just sort of the nature of creativity, I guess, is that you're just drawn and you're pulled and you just sort of go with the flow, essentially. Yeah. And you have the ability to do that perhaps more at 23 than you do at other periods of your life. And from living in LA, somebody took me onto a set. It was a photo shoot with Mary J. Blige for Vanity Fair. It opened my eyes to something that I could really instinctively appreciate. Please don't ask me how, because I'll never quite understand how, but I didn't ever grow up. I grew up listening to music, watching music documentaries, understanding the life of, you know, that sort of A-list artist or entertainer. It made perfect sense to me how everybody was behaving and just sort of moving in and around this space. So as an artist, I could appreciate, you know, the sensitivity of, you know, the talent herself. I understood roughly what was happening logistically, instinctively, although I was a tiny, tiny cog in that wheel on that set that particular day. But I just felt very comfortable and very at home in that environment. And that really changed the course of my life, really, that shoot. You know, lots of things happened from there, but that was very pivotal to me. And then I sort of took that experience and started to ask myself lots more questions. But it affirmed to me something that I knew deep down, that that was my home in and around that level of talent, and where the stakes are so high. Yeah. I felt very, just, it felt like a natural environment for me to be in.
Wow.
That makes any sense.
Yeah. And fast forward to now, and you're leading an agency that has worked with some of the biggest names in fashion, art, music in the world. And I'm intrigued to know where the name Creative Blood came from. As a doctor, this is kind of our one of the things that we know a lot about. But from the creative industry, it's interesting to see where blood fits into that.
Can I ask what it means to you?
Blood, I think, to me, is the one...
Creative blood, specifically.
Okay. Well, I think blood as an organ, if you were to look at blood as a kind of wheel in the car of the body, as something that keeps it going, it is very creative. It responds to different environments. It, you know, when you have a cut, it clots and stops that bleeding. It transports oxygen, takes away waste. I think blood is the most creative thing in the human body, and I've always felt this, I don't know what the word, inspiration from blood, which is kind of weird. And I've always thought it's odd when people get squeamish when they have a blood test done, and you know, they don't want to see it. And it's associated with horror films and vampires and stuff like that. But actually, it's a really beautiful thing, an inspirational thing. So that's what creative blood means to me.
Well, that's where it comes from. You've just described it, although I certainly wasn't thinking of it in a sort of a technical way, from a sort of a, you know, in the way that you've just described it. But at the essence of creative blood is exactly how you've interpreted it. So it's the life force of us all. In my humble opinion, I know that if anything is ever stuck, I know that it takes a creative and curious person to push it forward. I know that it takes instinct and a creative mindset to push boundaries and to keep fluidity and simultaneously think big.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is really about. I feel something every time I say it. I say it with so much pride, and I know that it makes people smile, and that's a game changer. If you can make someone smile when you say, "Hi, I'm Laura, I'm, you know, this is Creative Blood," it just immediately makes perfect sense, I think. Yeah. Nothing to do with me, but just the name itself, you know?
Yeah. One of the things that we've been talking about for the last few months, however long we've been speaking, is why we do the things we do. And I'm from a medical background, so sometimes we've had Zoom calls and I've been in my consultation room at work during my lunch break. And it just started from this curiosity, as you've mentioned, with how can we use creativity to improve lives, you know, in essence. And for you, that might be within the creative industry itself. For me, it might be plugging it into a healthcare setting. But it is that initial intention that started everything off. and that intuition. So
yeah,
what's your opinion on how creativity can improve people's lives? Like, what, where do you see that playing a role?
I guess something that I'd love to share in the spirit of sharing, I'm going to look at this as a bit of a consultation with
Go
you.
Go ahead.
No, because problem. I think in some ways it's such a privilege to be able to speak in this context because, you know, in the world that I work in and the conversations that I'm normally having, nothing is a problem. Everything is solvable and we shoot for the stars. We shoot for the creative stars. It's non-negotiable. The reality is there are a lot of effects on all of us when you make those kinds of sort of goals and you have those kind of aspirations, because if you're consistently shooting for something, shooting for those creative stars, and you're looking to push boundaries creatively, something has to give somewhere, because obviously there's always a balance to be had. The irony for me personally is that I had to let go of my personal creativity in order to go into battle for others. Mm. I think that happens a lot and it can happen, but it isn't always mentioned because people naturally assume, you know, I always sort of make a joke and it's not a very funny one, but it's like makeup artists don't wear makeup, you know, builders, they go out and build their own, they go out and build and mend other people's homes and their own homes are falling apart.
Yeah.
You know, doctors, you know, I don't know, make it up for yourself. You know what I mean? We go into battle for the things that we know are so important and yet we don't always give it to ourselves.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but it is absolutely that, where a lot of doctors are giving advice on stress management and you know, getting 10,000 steps or whatever every day, but actually they themselves aren't managing their own stress.
Well, because all of your energy is going in.
Within the NHS, it's a difficult place.
It catches you out when you're least expecting it to, because again, it's, you're just so in it. When you give it your all, and we're all very, you know, we're very passionate about what we do. And, you know, as I know you are, and, you know, we've spoken a lot about this, that when you want to make something happen, there are things that just have to fall away a little bit, you know, and finding balance with anything it can be tough. But from my experience, I've had to pick what's been important to me. And what was important to me from the beginning of Creative Blood was to make sure that every artist, every client, every member of the team felt part of something that was bigger than us, but together we were stronger together and we could make anything possible. And that's how I've built Creative Blood.
Yeah.
The bit that I've gotten to is, interestingly, just based on sort of starving my own creativity over time, is I decided to start a program internally at Creative Blood, which I'm sort of seeing as the voice of Creative Blood, called Artist at Heart. And I'm mentioning this because, again, heart, I mean, would anyone have really used that term even, you know, 12, 24 months ago? Possibly not. Mm. But as a result of the journey that everybody's been on, we've all had to recalibrate and, you know, work out what's our non-negotiable, and that's become mine. So I feel that I've been through such a cycle that I'm choosing very specifically to also make decisions for the business and creatively what we, you know, as, you know, a team of producers and creatives essentially, and the extended team, what we want to actually go into battle for. And that will be very different now, and it is very different now to what it was perhaps 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that's really exciting.
Well, that is exciting to hear in the way that you've adapted to the changes with the pandemic, because it's been the greatest level. It's brought people, you know, everyone's got this now in common. You can talk to somebody about the pandemic, and that was not
everywhere
there 3 years ago. And the artist at heart concept is interesting as well, because, and you as a drummer, you would resonate with the fact that we have a drum beat inside our hearts. The heart itself is a drum that doesn't stop until you die, right? And even then, for some beats, it can still continue once the, because it has its own inherent BPM. It's within the actual cells of the rhythm of the heart.
Yeah.
So even when it's not connected to a body, the cells just instinctively beat at a low rate just to keep things going. It's such a beautiful thing, how these organs have evolved to incorporate rhythm in themselves. I just think that's fascinating.
Incredible.
And the beat adapts to various circumstances in the same way as blood does. The heartbeat adapts. Yeah. And I just think it's a really good metaphor to guide a direction for a company and to guide a support network. How do you see that playing out, the artist at heart kind of concept?
I think, and I've been on a real journey, you know, sort of personally and professionally as well, over the last 2 years, trying to work out how I communicate what it is that the business wants to say in for my industry, what we want to stand for, how I want the team to feel when they're with us, and what we collectively, industry and team collectively, are gunning for, really. Because I think, you know, we can say one thing, but if the industry isn't ready for it, then we're just sitting there going, let's go. And everyone's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. But interestingly, I think the industry has been receiving us and our approach and equally is more than ready for this iteration of Creative Blood. Nothing changes. We always say, you know, there's obviously, you know, things evolve on the inside. That's really important for me, for the business, to be able to adapt with what's going on. But equally, I'm looking to carve a lane for us. I don't want us to follow what else is going on out there. I feel like, you know, you find your people, that's it with everything. And we're very fortunate to be supported. And it's incredible when people that you admire who are working at the top of their game are ready to champion what it is that you're doing. And that's when I sort of get a sense that we've hit on something, when I can say, what do you think? You know, here's our new merch. And it's, you know, a pair of, you know, socks that say artist at heart. And people are like, I love it. And it could be, the thing for me is that it's not for an industry. It's actually for you. It's as an art, you know, it's, you know, for my mum. I can't wait to give my mum a pair. They've only just arrived, so she hasn't got a pair yet, but she will any day now. You know, friends, family, colleagues, you know, random strangers who I know I'm going to meet, and I'm instinctively going to want to say, you know, this is what this is about. Are you in? Like, how do you feel about it? And get their response. And every single person, wherever they are and whatever they do, they've responded in a way that tells me this means something that's bigger than Creative Blood. And that's what I'm excited about, because obviously we do what we do and that's all fine. That's trucking. Yeah. But the message is the bigger picture, and that's what I want to communicate. And, you know, there's many different ways to do that. And I'm still communicating that. I'm sort of talking to lots of different people to find out what it means to them, and then how to in turn bring that dialogue back, and how we can have a conversation to the wider community around that. But it's going, you know, in the form of podcasts, merch, you know, formulating things in writing, and, you know, whether that's blogs or, you know, events, you know, talks, community. Obviously, that's not new news to anybody, but that's been us since day one. So I feel really excited and, you know, ready to roll it out big time.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's important to mention that you're still at an early stage, well, relatively. We're still in discussion stages. And when I first reached out to you a few months ago and I looked at the kind of stuff that you've done and the people you've worked with, I felt like an imposter. And we talk about imposter syndrome a lot. But I felt, what am I going to say to Laura? I need to have something. I need to feel like I've got some credibility or whatever, right? And this is the kind of thing that we're all walking around with. And it turned out that we just had a chat and had a lot in common in terms of how we think and our values. And out of that conversation, you planted a few seeds in me that then developed into creative medicine. And I think a lot of us are held back by this imposter syndrome, and it stops us from sharing vulnerability and sharing things at early stages where you might be able to recruit a tribe, or anybody even listening to this podcast, you know, we have people who are from healthcare backgrounds and health entrepreneur backgrounds. So that is a useful thing to just mention about imposter syndrome. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the fact that I've got it, we've all got it. And that's the best bit. You know, I think when you feel, you know, I think what can happen is, you know, everybody is feeling so much, and you have to, I think from my personal experience, what I really like to do is get a sense of somebody to understand how much I can need or want to share with them. And I know I feel exactly the same, you know, from the second we started speaking, there was so much to discuss, and that we share instinctively from our experiences. And at the end of the day, you know, we're human, and it doesn't matter if, you know, what you do, our, you know, the essence and what we're about says more to the other person than our title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's not, you know, I think it's quite easy in some ways to fall into a trap that suggests that because, you know, you do this or I do that, that we're not compatible to be able to be on the same page. But that's the complete opposite of what we all experience all day, every day. Yeah. I could say the same when I speak to you and I'm thinking, but I know I've got high blood pressure, so can I really share this with a pal? You know, what am I meant to do with that information? You know, I have to, then that's it. You know, no one wants to, you know, speak about sort of their ailments, yeah, or, you know, what they've got going on in the background. But it's very much about, you know, I think peeling some layers back, and that's where things really, I think when you start peeling the layers back, I think that's when things get really interesting. Much more interesting than when you say, oh, this is who I am and this is my title. I think you're more of an imposter if you don't feel like you can peel some layers back sometimes. But obviously the other person has to be able to receive that from you. Yeah. And, you know, that's a gift. I think that's an exchange between two humans. I've never bought into position as a status on a human level. I know that I can get into a room as a director of a business and with the backstory and the, you know, the credentials of Creative Blood, but I don't think that's going to win us the business. I think the people win the business. And for that, you have to, you know, just simplify everything. And I think that's just about being human.
Wow.
I always say, who do you want to go down in a plane with? The person who's holding your hand and says, we got this, don't worry, we're in this together. Or somebody that's like, well, I'm a director, I'm a surgeon, I don't hold your hand. People are like, I'm not getting in the plane with you. No way.
Wow.
it's frightening, you know?
Yeah. And the language of people is creativity, in my opinion. So that's how you understand who that person is. And yeah. You can't get that sometimes from the artificial plastic social media kind of life that we are subjected to in the immediate sense of it. I remember when I was yeah. playing guitar, when I started learning how to play the guitar, I had cassette tapes and CDs came later, but mainly cassette tapes. I found my dad's collection, and the few seconds it takes to rewind back to the start of the solo, you know, for instance, some of the guitar pieces that Santana and Eric Clapton, you have to rewind it back to find the right place to play it again to learn it. But that moment yeah. of anticipation, you know, where you're waiting for it to start again, that I can't see that being there anymore. And I feel like it does make a difference in people's attention spans and how that impacts mental health in the long term.
There's so much around that, and you know, with what creative there's I really have two sides of my brain on this, which is quite unhelpful potentially, but you know, one side, obviously I understand what creative blood is designed and committed to achieving, and I don't take that lightly, and you know, I have to make I enjoy that and I find it thrilling. Otherwise, you can't do it if you don't love it. I'm very passionate about that. But I'm equally passionate about not... sort of the beauty is in the imperfection. And there's so much that we see and we experience all day, every day. If you captured it in one moment, looking forward, it looks like one thing. But if you turn around in that exact same moment and simultaneously took a picture of the shit show that was behind you, people's jaw would drop because it all looks so beautiful in one direction and then absolute carnage in the opposite direction. And we have a saying in the industry, and people throw it out and sort of off the cuff, you know, without thinking, but in the spirit of, you know, what you do and, you know, where you come from and all these conversations we have, it makes me laugh now because it means so much more. We say when someone goes absolutely bonkers about the smallest thing for whatever reason going wrong, we have to turn to each other and go, but we're not saving lives. And that is something that people laugh yeah. about, and you have to check yourself because you're so committed to making something happen. You have to remind yourself that bigger picture, everything is still okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to do that with each other as well, I think.
Yeah.
So I think, again, the beauty is in the imperfection. Yeah. And it's also, again, back to people. If you've got somebody's back, they feel $1 million. If you don't, they feel at sea. Their anxiety goes through the roof. You've lost them. You're not in the same zone together.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you can't do it on your own, and you wouldn't want to, because the beauty that sort of what makes the world go round, it's the players, it's the ingredients of the people. And that ingredients are those, you know, we bring it back to what we're saying, like, you know, the life force, the blood, the cells in the, you know, the what is fueling everybody, that's what brings us together. It's the focus comes when you find your people, but without the people, you can't do anything. So creativity plays such an important part when it comes to vision, but when it comes to execution, you have to find those who think and approach things in a similar way. And that's when you found your tribe, then it's game on, you know?
In a world now where we're feeling quite socially isolated or disconnected and worried about the next pandemic, whatever that might look like, I think it's really important to have that community feeling. And when it's coming from the creative industry, which is...
yeah.
where a lot of the influence comes from. So I know that you say you may not be saving lives, but I've always felt that creativity in the media, music, art, film, all that stuff has the power to do that indirectly.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to mental health and suicidal thoughts and things like that. So I think it's really interesting, and I'd love to be part of that community. And I'm sure people who are listening to this.
You're already a part of it. You're a huge part of it. I think the thing is that the power is in the power is in the shared vision. And I think the thing with brands is that they can tell you who they are, but then they have to show you who they are. And what the, you know, what's going on with the brands at the moment, they're look, because obviously with the rise of social media, and when I really think of it, it's bananas. In fact, can I, whilst we're together, can I just share something with you that's so, you know, something that I found online that just scared the hell out of me, but equally sort of excited me. So the estimated number of minutes watched in 2021 on both Netflix and TikTok. So 9.6 trillion minutes of Netflix were watched in 2021. And get ready, God help us all, 22.6 trillion minutes of TikTok. And that shows you people's attention span. You've got moments. So you better say something that you mean, and you better have it rooted in something that is going to be bringing people on a journey that you can maintain. So it has to be authentic. Mm. And when you're trying to be your authentic self, when you, you know, that's for all of us on a human level, but now brands are having to adapt to that because people are very quick to call them out, or they'll jump ship and they'll go to the competitor. But I think it's really exciting. So it's like everybody's got the opportunity to have a voice. But if you go really narrow and you know who you are and you know what it is that you want to speak about, I think there's everything there for you to be true, be happy, be creative, but equally, you know, find that thing that binds you and your community together. And I think then you go everywhere you want together. You can go anywhere you want together.
Wow, yeah.
I think that's what makes it exciting. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It is. It's scary and it's really thrilling.
Statistic
simultaneously
of time, I can't even comprehend it. I can't even put it into any perspective.
I know, it's bananas. And who knew in our age bracket, let's call us the... This is going to get weird, isn't it? Let's call us the, I don't know, well, let's say the sort of, you know, mid-30s to the sort of mid-40s and even up to 50s, right? That's the biggest growing demographic in social media, specifically on TikTok. So if you want to have a voice, your people are ready and waiting for you. But what is it that you want to say? And if you say something that has value, that connects, you'll find your people. It's incredible.
It is.
It's incredible. And it's escalated and accelerated so quickly as a result of the pandemic. Because people have had to edit really quickly. No, that's rubbish. No, I'm not into that anymore. I've changed my mind. That, it's that that I'm looking for now. And then you go so niche, you go so narrow, and then you find more of the same thing, because obviously all the algorithms are for, you know, they're forming a picture for you.
Which, yeah.
It's incredible.
It can be quite dangerous as well, because I think it's very, very easy to lose yourself and that authentic sense of self in the noise. And
yeah,
the,
I mean, it balance. Yeah. You've got to find balance. And, you know, back to nature, back to just switching everything off. You know, back to, you know, dancing around your kitchen, your pants,
which
you
is,
know, all these things. Yeah, exactly. Turning the music up to 11, like, you know, crank it up, you know. That's how I switch off, that and the ocean. Music absolutely lights my fire. It's what switches me off to the world, and also just being out in the ocean or looking at the ocean. And there's nothing that can compare to that. No project, know nothing. There's nothing in the, you know, the world of commodity that can do that. So it's so simple.
But this is it. This is the creative medicine. This is it's not therapy, but it's a tool where you can use that to kind of plug back into who you are. And I think it's been really nice to speak to you today, Laura, because getting this perspective from a person who's, you know, at the top of the creative industry, you know, and doing these things with such huge game changers.
I'm working in and around that. I mean, I'm a work in progress.
That's really great. And doing that full circle, coming back to the heart, I think is really a nice end to this episode, because it'd be really nice to see the next stage for you and Creative Blood with the artist at heart concept. And so tell us what's next for you. I know you've already mentioned most of that, but what's next?
I think it's really, for me, is sort of refining what I want to communicate within that. You've used the term concept. I really love it. I mean, for me, it's the voice and the heartbeat of Creative Blood. That's what artist at heart is. It's the purpose. It's the heartbeat of my business. And how can I support creative minds and makers in a way that sort of, you know, supports, but equally starts a much more important and a bigger conversation about the importance of community, but also freedom, creative freedom. That's a really big thing for me as well. You know, when you work in advertising, things can get really narrow, you know, and safe. And I want to go in the complete, and I always have done, but I've had to strike that balance of, you know, far and wide and loose cannon, but in a way that feels, but there's trust and there's integrity. So it's about starting and maintaining that conversation and just learning, you know, and getting behind a drum kit a lot more often than I have done in recent years. That's really important to me.
It'd be great to hear your beats soon. Or jam, or bring a guitar.
Awesome.
It's been amazing to speak to you today, Laura. I think this has been long overdue to get you on as a guest on the podcast.
You're next. You're next.
Where can we find out more about you, Laura?
About me, I'm not sure, and that's probably a good thing. But specifically about Creative Blood on Instagram, you'll find us, Creative Blood Agency on Instagram. I love messaging people back. If anybody wants to message, I love getting back to people. You know, have a look at the work. There's personal projects on there. There's a lot of commercial stuff. But yeah, anybody can message me at any point on the Creative Blood Instagram. I'll always get back. I'll be really excited to do that. On LinkedIn, anywhere really. I mean, I try not to, you know, Creative Blood is so personal to me in a lot of ways. I really love to interact with whatever happens on its channels. And then I really appreciate having my sort of just Laura, me, outside of that. But I come as me to Creative Blood, if that makes sense.
Well, we'll link it all in the description. So you don't have to write it all down. Right.
Okay. Only one thing anyway.
That's great. So thanks again, Laura. It's been a pleasure to speak to you today. So for everyone listening and watching, join us next time for the next episode, where I'll be featuring another incredible guest talking about creativity and how it can improve your life. So see you next time. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to hear your feedback. So get in contact at creativemedicine.co.uk or follow us on Instagram at creativemedicineuk and drop us a line, leave a comment, and make sure you share this with somebody if you think they would be interested in listening. So stay tuned for the next episode, and I'll see you next time.